Hi, this is Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I'm here today with Ann Moss. Now, Ann Moss is a longtime authority figure on astral projection and many metaphysical and paranormal topics. Ann, it's an honor to be able to interview you today.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's go ahead and jump right in, if that's all right with you, with some questions. First of all, I would like to know, how did your journey with astral projection begin?
Began early in life, even before there was any information on the internet or anything. It started when I was just a little girl. I would have these experiences where I would find myself out of my body, going through the woods, no body, circling trees and just thinking, this is really interesting. And then in my teen years, I would babysit for clients, listening to classical music, and the next thing I know, I'm out of my body. And mind you, this is in the 70s. It is not like it is now where there's all the internet information like that. So I really didn't have any information on this. I just took note of it and realized I am more than my physical body. So it started pretty early on in my life.
Okay. So you've been at this for a while, and I'm honored to be able to talk with you about this because someone who has that much experience is certainly going to be a wealth of information to our listeners. So let's move on now, and I want to talk about passive versus active. When we talk about methods of projection, can you tell us the difference between passive versus active?
Absolutely. Passive is what I just told you happened. I had no control. Listening to classical music, it was like reactionary to a state. Active is when you say, okay, I want to learn astral projection. What do I need to do? And you follow steps. You practice what's necessary. And that's much more of an active approach versus just, I find myself out of my body. So that's the difference between those two.
Okay. And tell me about vibrations now. Why should people concern themselves with vibrations?
Well, because vibrations are everything. Every sound, every sight, everything is oscillating at a certain rate. And when you talk about astral projection, you have to alter your own personal vibrations to detach from the physical shell. So you very much care about vibrations. A lot of what you do to learn how to project is, how do I change my vibrations so that the detachment is easier? Ultimately, you'd really love to raise your vibrations enough to the point where separation is natural and easy. Right now, it's very difficult for people because they don't do anything to work on their vibrations. And when I say vibrations, I mean your etheric, your astral, and your physical, because they're all tied together.
And can you elaborate on the etheric versus the astral versus the physical bodies?
Sure. Well, we all know what the physical is. The next layer, if you want to call it that, is your etheric. When you first leave your body, you're often in your etheric body, which is, it's within your physical shell, just like the astral is. It's coarser than the astral, but less dense than the physical. And that's where you're going to experience what I call etheric anomalies. And this is usually what makes a lot of people quit, because there's huge vibrations. I mean, I've been fooled so many times into thinking an 8.0 earthquake was happening, just to snap back to my body and realize, no, that was the proverbial vibrations. And that happens in your etheric. Astral is when you get at least 10 feet away from your body, you leave the etheric and enter the astral, and that's a much finer substance body, and that's what allows you to transverse dimensions, time, and space. So that's the difference between those two. It's all about the density of the vibrations.
Okay, so you're saying there's a 10-foot radius going out from your physical body in every direction, sort of like a sphere around you, and beyond that boundary, you leave the etheric and enter the astral. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, I always tell people on my webpage, you need to get immediately away from your physical shell, because what will happen is there's this huge magnetic hold. It's kind of like what holds us to our body. And if you don't, you're going to get pulled back. And too many people, they step out of their body and go, oh, wow, I'm out of my body. And then snap, they're back. So the first thing I do, I don't even think about it. I get usually just out of the room, but it's about 10 feet. If you get away, then you're far enough away that the control is then shifted to the astral, and your etheric loses all of its, one, its scary components, and two, the pull, the magnetic pull on the body.
Okay, so approximately 10 feet, or we could say a little over 3 meters away from your body, and you're okay. Now, after you reach that point, are you okay, or are you still in danger of potentially snapping back?
Oh, you're always in danger of that. People always say, and I'm really worried, how am I going to get back to my body? And I'm like, honey, getting back is too easy. You think of your body and your back. So anytime you think of your body, you snap back. It's very, very easy to come back, and so you're always in jeopardy of being snapped back to your body. The hard part is maintaining the focus and staying out of your body, because for most people, this is new territory. They're not going to leave their body and spend the next 2 to 3 hours touring the universe. It doesn't work like that. Beginners are going to be frightened. They're going to snap back, get frustrated. There's a lot going on here. This is, you know, we're not from the Eastern culture here. At least I'm not, you know, I'm not speaking for all cultures, but most people listening to this, they're going to be from the Western culture, and they're not going to know how to initially handle all this. So, yeah, there's always a danger of coming back.
Okay. And that kind of, you know, as a hypnotherapist, I think a lot about telling people not to think about ice cream or not to think about cake. And I know that when I say that, that kind of sets up a dynamic in their minds where they do start thinking about those things and they become sometimes overly focused. So tell us, if you will, the trick of how you consciously decide that you're not going to think about your body, but in deciding that you're not going to think about your body, you're already thinking about your body in the sense that you're not right. going to think about it. How do you overcome all that?
Well, on my webpage, I talk about some of the more advanced techniques, and one of them is have a plan. It takes a lot of work to consciously leave your body. What are your plans? Where are you going? What do you plan on doing? Most people say, oh, I just want to leave my body. Then they leave their body and then say, well, now what? That doesn't do anything for you. I always have a pre-designated plan. Maybe I want to go to the pyramids. Maybe I want to see Stonehenge. Maybe I want to see a friend. Maybe I want to see a friend who's passed on. Maybe I want to go to the moon. Maybe I want to time travel. I always have a very strongly, you know, strong idea of what I want to do when I leave my body. And that way it keeps me not thinking about my body. It keeps me back on the agenda of what I'm trying to do.
Okay. And that sounds like good advice in general in life. Focus on the goal that you have, and you will naturally move toward it.
Well, people have to realize, and they're going to know this if they really want to pursue this, it is these muscles have atrophied. These AP muscles, or, you know, AP is short for astral projection, you're trying to strengthen them. And so when it finally happens, when you finally get out of that, quote, wheelchair, You really should have a plan. You should really appreciate how much work it, you know, took for you to get there and take advantage of that and not waste it on saying, well, what do I do now?
Okay, fair enough. And with your years of experience with astral projection, what would you say that astral projection has done for you?
Well, that is a mountain of material to be said about that, so I'll try to keep it somewhat short, but there's really not much you can't do. So let's say, for example, you meet someone, or you see someone that has died, and let's say it's someone you've mourned and mourned and you just can't get over their death. Well, in the astral, you can meet them, and the first thing they tell you, and I've heard this from other people, is, I'm doing great, please move on. So you get to reconcile people that have died. It's your own upcoming death. I haven't talked to friends for years, and it doesn't matter, because I can go into the astral and get the real story of why they haven't called me or what's, you know, going down in their life. So it's amazing information potential. I've time traveled and brought back proof, so I know this is not a joke or a lie. You can time travel. That's fascinating. You can go into the future, the past. You can look at your own karmic records. You can see why you're here, what you're planning to do, where you're failing. You can talk to guides who can tell you, okay, this is where we kind of need to see you going here. This is your lesson. I also had situations where people that had done bad things to me and had passed on had done very good things for me in the astral, and then suddenly I would hear this voice that said, this is the person who did you harm. So I get to see that even people that have died, that have had a negative life, they have this amazing chance to redeem themselves, which we've all made mistakes, so this is good news for all of us.
Okay.
You can heal. I mean, the list just goes on and on. It's unfortunate that our society doesn't embrace this more, because we really are in the dark ages of spirituality and ability. And I'm telling you, it's an amazing world out there, and there's almost nothing you cannot do.
Okay. Now, you said you've brought back proof of time travel.
Yes.
And can you elaborate on that?
People would always say, well, how do I know you're not dreaming or this is your imagination? I said, okay, well, that is actually a very good question, and it's a lucid question, and I would ask the same thing. So I thought, the only way for me really to prove this is to do something like win the lottery. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try to win the lottery. So I would project over and over, and I couldn't get it, but I thought, I'm just going to keep with this because it's not every day that you can do this. And most people have told me this is impossible. So I thought, I'm doing what society and other remote viewers and astral projectors have told me is impossible. But whenever I'm told that, I usually say, bah, it's not true. So what happened was I finally left my body. I slept in one morning, and I was going to Safeway in the astral. I thought, okay, this is how I'm going to see the lottery numbers. And then I realized the one thing I need to do in the astral, and this applies to all astral experiences, is the use of the will. Your will chakra center. And I thought with all my might, I said, I almost screamed it, show me the lottery. And I had such ferociousness to it, up popped 3 balls. I immediately returned to my body, wrote the numbers down, went to the store, played the numbers, and I got the right numbers in the right order and the right numbers. So I got the maximum amount for that lottery. So I would say that's pretty good proof that I can transcend time.
Wow, yes, that is amazing proof. And as
that's not to mention, without exaggeration, 1,000 other recorded psychic experiences where I'll go out, I'll see things that happen, I'll wake up, I'll call so-and-so, so I see you got arrested, or I see you're having a baby, or, you know, it's huge amounts of information because you're an interdimensional being, and time travel is no big deal there.
Okay.
No big deal here.
Well, now that you've touched on winning the lottery, I know that a lot of our listeners are very spiritual people, and they want to enhance their spirituality. However, you brought this up, so I do want to pursue it a little bit. You mentioned the will chakra center.
Yes, your will chakra.
Okay.
I'll give you another example of that use. I long bored of the, oh, I'm going to go down the street and look around. I mean, you get over that in the first couple of years of that. I thought, I'm going to start doing really interesting things. So I thought, I'm going to go to the moon. So one day I leave my body, and I'm trying to locate the moon. Okay, I see the moon, and then I start slowly making my way to the moon. I'm thinking, this is going to take forever because I'm going at what I perceive is how the speed of my physical body, because isn't that the only speed we really know? Mine is maybe a car. So I started going faster and faster, and I thought, oh, this is still too slow. And suddenly I had that same will feeling in that will chakra. I just said, moon, now. And William Bullman and Robert Monroe have talked about the same thing. It's the will that gets you where you want to be, whether it's the future or the moon. And immediately I was at the moon. And I am one of the very few people on this earth that has been able to see the moon or see the earth from the moon, and what a spectacular sight that was. But yes, that's your will chakra that's doing that.
And where is the will chakra located?
Well, it's right, you know, when you get that feeling like you've been punched in the gut?
Right.
It's right there. It's like where your rib cage meets.
Okay.
Yeah, it's when you get that sense that, you know, I've got the sick, S-I-C-K sense that something's bad happened. It's usually, that's your gut. That's your will center. And
okay.
Your will center is in the front of your body and in the back of your body, like all chakras, minus, of course, the one in your head that's just going through your head.
Okay.
In fact, I recommend any person pursuing astral projection that they learn about the chakras, their aura, so that they better understand the whole energy system and how that works.
Okay. Very good advice.
Related to vibrations, so.
Okay. Now, what do you feel about, again, about this lottery situation, just to touch on it a little bit more? It brings up the topic of getting things, using your psychic powers, metaphysical powers to get things, you know, maybe getting ahead of the game a little bit in a way that others wouldn't be able to. So some might call that an unfair advantage. How do you feel about balancing that?
I don't think it's unfair because no one is being stopped from doing this themselves. And we come from an abundant universe. Unfortunately, it's closed-minded thinking that says we should suffer. No, I don't think any of us should suffer. In fact, I don't think any of us should be sick. I don't think any of us should be poor. And I think that it's governments and societies and even some, you know, hard doctrinal religions that put us into that thing that you need to be poor. No, we don't. And like Jesus Christ said, greater miracles than this ye shall do, and I'm the type of person that does that. But I also must say, I counsel thousands of people on my web pages, and I'm saying web pages, I have like 5 for free. I'm always there for the public. All I do is give to the public. And this isn't a thing about greed. In fact, I haven't bothered to win the lottery since because I proved my point. And I still live a life of abundance. And if I wish to, I probably could again, but, you know, I proved my point.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate that. That is a wonderful outlook, and I embrace that. Let's talk about healing now, moving into that. Tell us about, now you talked about that a little bit as one of the many things that astral projection can help you with. Would you mind elaborating on that, astral projection as it relates to healing?
It doesn't just have to happen in the astral. I've seen my own healing occur in the etheric. And it's not something you go out and see with your eyes. You see, like I saw my own neural networks being repaired. And I remember this one gentleman wrote me, said, oh, that's impossible. And then he later did research and said, oh, wow, we really can repair our own neural networks. So I will see my own healing. You can go out and see the sickness in other people's auras. You can see if they've got cancer. You can see if they've got blocked chakras, because you're able to see with the very same eyes, the astral eyes, where the sickness starts. Our sickness usually starts in the mental body because of the way we think. It filters through the astral, goes to the etheric, and then it produces itself as something wrong in the physical. So you can circumvent that well in advance if that's what your calling is in life, and help people cure themselves. I read a great book by Barbara Brennan. That's all that woman does, and she has some fabulous information and concurs with what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, very nice. I've heard a lot about astral healing, and I talk about it as well, so I fully embrace that model. Tell me, just a straight-to-the-point question here, what happens after we die?
Well, I wrote an article once, and the first thing I said was, what happens when we die is as varied as what happens when we live. Look at humans. We've got the very base kind. We've got the mid, and then we've got the very, you know, spiritually evolved kind. Their life is very different from each other. And so when they die, that life is varied as well. I think what's common for all of us is when we die, we do a life review. And we get to see what we've done wrong, and that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately. I'm like, because I'm in the astral, I'm like, oh, I really want to pay attention to this because what we do matters. So you get the life review, and then you go to a wonderful place of healing, and I've been fortunate enough to go to that while I was still alive. You cannot believe how much junk we take in from day to day, from listening to alarm clocks go off, to traffic, to squabbles with relatives, to bills, aging. It's this murky muck that starts infiltrating our energy bodies. And so when you die, you get to get rid of all that, and you just become so light and so buoyant. And it's incredible. Death is a beautiful thing. And one thing I would love for people to realize is it's not something to be feared. And of course, it's going to be a much more elevated astral experience for the evolved. But even the lower negative entities, like I said earlier in the interview, they have chances to do it over, whether it's through reincarnation or getting into the, quote, dreams of people that are still living. So the whole basis of what we're alive for is to learn love. And so what happens when we die is furthering that by correcting our wrongs, seeing our wrongs, being with people we love. It's pretty a cool experience. I don't fear death at all.
I think our listeners are a little less afraid now, too. And I know that in some of the information on your website, you talk about our programmed failure at astral projection, and that's a fascinating topic to me. Would you elaborate on that?
Sure. Well, take it from a woman being born in the 60s. There was no information out there, and yet we as humans have been doing this subconsciously for our entire duration on Earth. Why is this a big secret? Why is this taboo? This is our natural soul right. And so we're programmed to failure because we're ignorant. And we squelch this as something, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. Yet it's very natural. So what we don't know, we fear. So we fear astral projection. We fear the devil's going to get us. Demons are going to get us. We're not going to be able to come back. We're going to die. Everything that doesn't happen. Because, by the way, we all project naturally in our sleep. And we all still come back. So we're programmed for failure because of how society raises us. However, there are certain societies, again, Eastern cultures, that this is okay. And so guess what? The number one culture I meet when I ask to project is of Eastern philosophies, usually Asians or whatever, because that's okay for them. The ones I don't meet are the Western people. Very rare do I see a conscious Western person because we're programmed for failure.
So it's sort of the enculturation we all receive as coming up in the West, that it's not real, that it's not going to work, that it's fantasy, that sort of thing?
Oh, exactly. And we for some reason, we poo-poo anything that we can't see or prove or measure, and that's really difficult with this. And there's also, women like me were being burned 100 years ago. You know what I mean? This was... You never question your spirituality because that was God's job. Your job was just to show up, behave, obey, and die. And so that keeps us ignorant. And again, what we don't know, we fear.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Anne, let's accelerate this a little bit for those of our listeners who are perhaps a little bit more advanced or who would like a look ahead, okay? Because I know that you have a wealth of information. A lot of what we're talking about so far is pretty basic for you. But let's get into some more advanced topics now. And I want you to talk to us about the idea of combining astral travel with time travel.
Well, what is time? Really, you don't go anywhere. You just shift your consciousness. So, in fact, you can do time travel while still in your physical body. That's called remote viewing. And it's the will thing. All you need is consciousness and will. And call the body what you want. You can do time travel. That's what got me caught up is, oh, I need to go Safeway. I need to go to the counter in the astral. You don't need to do any of that. You just need willpower to transcend time, and for that matter, to transcend a lot of things like space, getting to the moon, etc.
Okay, and we did talk a little bit earlier about time travel with your specific example of the lottery. How far would you say we could go with time travel, ahead or back?
I don't think there's a limit to that because what if you want to go lifetimes back? What if you want to go to the origin of the Earth being created? I mean, I don't think there's a limit to that. I think it's more of what you're consciously wanting to know, where you are spiritually, and even the future, really. It's just, you need to pick a point and create the desire, because without the desire, your will's not going to work.
Okay. So for you, time travel in the astral body is a matter of willpower, is that correct?
Sure.
Okay. So it sounds like willpower is going to go a long way for us when it comes to astral travel.
Well, do that in physical. You
absolutely.
Know, isn't that what they say, with will and determination, you're omnipotent? I mean, that's what anything in life that we want to get done, I look at the winners in life, and it's all about who's got the best willpower.
Very good.
So
very
body
true.
Or not, it's a fundamental truth.
Okay. And I think that's wonderful how that transfers into the astral world, because so many people, especially who are new at astral projection, are wondering, well, what's going to give me the advantage? What's going to make the difference? And realizing that pure desire, that willpower is going to help, that really is going to, I think, make people feel better about this and give them something to look forward to, the fact that they can use their willpower and power their way to where they want to be.
Well, and Calvin Coolidge said the same thing, that, you know, will, determination, it's what's going to make the difference. It is what makes the difference. It's like the woman who can lift the car. She can't lift the car normally, but you put her child in her, and she's got the will, desire, and determination to do it. We can move mountains with that will, whether it's in the physical or the astral.
Okay. Very good. Now, let's talk about higher planes, because I know this is one of the topics that you're well-versed in and that you've had some experience with. Tell us about the higher planes in the astral world.
Well, they are so much more beautiful than here. In fact, coming back, this is one thing I would almost warn people. If you're fortunate enough to find the higher planes, be careful when you come back, because it is so gaudy here and dull and dark and negative that some people become depressed when they come back, because they're so glorious. I mean, they're basically what heaven was written about. Music starts to play that you think this is composed by masters. I've gone to the plants and just see art unfold, and I'm like, well, who created this? And they said, you did. I mean, our higher selves are exposed in the astral, and it's quite wondrous. Our creativity is tenfold in the higher planes, and the reason for this is because our physical body is a filter, and when you're removed from the filter, and the higher you go, in higher meaning, you know, higher vibrating densities, you become closer to the microcosm of God that you are. So you're an incredible being accessing incredible information. So it's beyond words.
Okay.
Hard to come back.
All right. Very good. Okay, well, I appreciate that. Would you say the higher planes are related to higher dimensions that physicists are now talking about?
I think so. I think this is kind of like the string theory where there's multiple dimensions. And again, what do they say? It takes vibration to uncurl the string with like M theory. So this is what they're finding out now. And I'm sure, I have no doubt. In fact, I can almost say with certainty that there's aspects of our own government that already know now how to access the astral plane.
So you feel...
It's just dimensions. This isn't hooey or religion. It's science. If you can alter your own frequencies, we're talking the natural way, but there's also unnatural ways to do that, then you can access the astral.
Okay, and that brings up a very interesting topic, which is the idea of the government, either of the United States or other governments, doing research with astral projection. Do you have any information about that or any ideas what they might be doing?
Yeah, but this is getting to where would anybody believe? I mean, I just read a recent book by Dr. Stephen Greer. I don't know if you're familiar with his work. I was shocked. You know, he's much more talking about aliens and whatnot, but he was in his book talking about, oh, yes, they're using technology to access the astral, which is where also extraterrestrials exist. So I was like, wow, this is all tying into what I've been saying for a long time. Yes, and the government does know about this. They can't have the technology that they have and not get really curious and say, well, what does this do and what can we do? And like they always do, how can we harness this? How can this suit our needs? Now, oh, yes, I think they're very much involved, and they know more than what they're saying.
Do you think at any point they will attempt to regulate the astral world?
Well, see, I've seen them in the astral. And guess what? You can alter your frequencies to, quote, make you in a spaceship, let's say, go into the astral. They basically dematerialize from this plane and go to the next. That doesn't give you carte blanche in the astral. That doesn't mean you're an evolved soul or an evolved being. You can't do what evolved people can do. They can sit there and fly around in their little contraption, but they're not evolved. So I think it's very frustrating to them because they can't go to the higher planes. There's many, many layers of the astral, and they're just sort of stuck in the middle. I never see them in the higher, and they're certainly probably in the lower, but they're mostly stuck in the middle. And I think they're really fascinated with people like me that they can see doing all these different things. Yeah, but I wouldn't be worried. They cannot control that because you have the power to elevate your own spirituality and really be the one in control.
Okay.
So one more thing back on the higher planes. There's planes much higher than the astral. The astral is just one plane, but there's planes beyond that where it's just pure white light and it's pure knowledge and it's pure consciousness. Those planes, those are really high, and you're just basically part of the Godhead. So I've seen those too, and they're pretty cool, and it's just you're just information, you're just love.
How many planes are there?
Well, I mean, you'd have to start doing research because there is no X you're here and X you're there. You know what I mean? There's no labels. I would probably say there's about 13.
Okay. Now, getting back to the government's experiments, and do you mean the United States government and other governments around the world or just the United States?
Okay. I've seen them in the astral, and they don't wear badges. So, I mean, whose government they are, they look like us, so it's not like they don't look like South African countries or, you know, Middle Eastern. They look, you know, Western or European.
Okay. Now, you're saying that you've seen them and certain machinery or instrumentation or vehicles?
Well, if you
vehicles?
Know how to alter frequencies, you're not just altering yours. You can alter helicopters. You know, if you don't know how to get around the astral because you aren't really a true astral projector, how do you think you get around? You know, they get around what they're familiar with. And form follows thought, so they scoot around in what they think they're, you know, what best gets them by. In fact, when I meet people in the afterlife, like ordinary citizens, they're walking. I'm like, okay, you don't need to be walking here, but because people do what they do in their physical, they're stuck by this doctrine of what they think is possible. And part of my job in my astral travels and even on my webpage is teaching people that, oh, no, you can do way more than this.
Okay. So the government is taking military vehicles such as helicopters into the astral planes and using them there. Is that accurate?
I would say that's accurate from what I've seen.
Okay. That is very interesting. So
it's really difficult information to come by in the sense that I've looked for information out there. And like I said, it was only recently I read Dr. Stephen Greer's work. I'm like, like crumbs. Where are the other astral projectors that have this information? But I don't think it's very common that there's really advanced astral projectors that can go out there and look at all this stuff. You know, another thing out there all over the place is extraterrestrials. Who's seeing this? Where's this information? All you ever hear about is the abductee or, oh, I saw something in the sky. But if you can leave your body and you want, there's other beings out there. I mean, it's just so amazing. It's really kind of almost embarrassing to be part of the public or part of the human race. We're so far behind.
Well, yes, we do seem to have quite a bit to learn. Can you tell us now, you've had so many experiences with the lottery and seeing the government do things and just experiencing the astral planes in general. Give us some of your top experiences, if you would, ones that you want to share in astral projection.
Well, other than the higher planes I just described, which were making you just weep with joy and beauty, it's indescribable. I hope other people listening can someday, get there and see that, because you come back to life with such a different perspective. But some other things, I remember I really wanted to go to the moon. I'm like, I've been staring at that beautiful moon my entire life. I want to go. And back to the military, I finally made it to the moon. And lo and behold, I found and saw deserted underground bases. I was like, well, this is interesting. And I thought, well, are they alien? No, they looked like military bases. They were just, I saw like ashtrays and stuff in the astral that that probably had a physical counterpart, because everything in the physical has an astral counterpart. So I was really fascinated by that. Of course, seeing the Earth with its shimmering, its own aura was really fascinating. Seeing so many things I would call the past, things like Atlantis was really interesting. Seeing Stonehenge firsthand, and I've never been to Europe. Just things like that. It's just unbelievably cool things it's like a world awaits us.
Okay. Well, tell us about Atlantis.
Beautiful, by the water, architecture that is stunning, very much more advanced than we are now. I would almost say that what I do is the norm. Astral travel, manifesting, creating art was very easy because, again, we're this really dense filter. And when you don't, or when your own filter lightens up, you get this stuff all the time. Your poetry comes easy, your music comes easy, your art comes easy. So they had this really much more advanced state of being. And I just remember being part of that. And I also remember part of the destruction, which seems to be almost kind of what we're heading for now. It's like time isn't, a straight line. It's almost like the Mayans say it's a circle. And we're coming right back to that circle.
So you feel that our civilization is currently headed for the demise that Atlantis ultimately faced?
Well, a couple things can happen. I think I don't know if it's necessarily a demise, because we never die. So what's really demising? I think what might be demising is an old way and a birth of a new way is coming. I remember in one of my travels, and sometimes these can be symbolic, I remember this is a massive earthquake. And, the usual mayhem of the end of the world type stuff. And then all the energy that we've screwed up with Earth got cleared. And then I remember saying there's been 1,000 years of peace. I mean, God, where have we heard that before? You know, it's like every voice has the same outcome for what's happening. I'm just one more perspective on that. So this is even a better time for people to be learning about astral projection and their own consciousness, because end of the world aside, you're going to die. I'm going to die. So now is the time to be learning about your soul, your spirituality, what happens after we die, what are you going to do, how are you preparing? I mean, we shouldn't need fear to prep us for this. We should be going for it now just for our best interest of, hey, I want to make sure that when I go to the other side, I'm set up okay here.
Very good. Always good to plan ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of planning ahead, getting back to those people who are maybe having a little struggle with astral projection and so forth, and looking for some techniques that will help them have their first astral journey, or maybe make it easier for them as they do it over and over. What are some of your favorite techniques that you use in astral projection?
Remember, some people think that all dreams are is just dreams, but dreams are often disguised astral projections. Unfortunately, your subconscious is running the show, so it's highly symbolic and there's imagery. So what we have to learn is, one, try and become lucid in your dreams, which is extremely difficult, as you probably know. So do double checks during the day. Am I dreaming? And test that. Okay, you know what I do? Can I elevate? Or can I, you know, levitate? Well, if I can't, then I'm in the physical. I test this in the astral, and it's so real that you can't tell. Well, if I levitate, I know that I'm in the astral here. One of my favorite techniques, though, which was also Robert Monroe's, is he said, maximize sleep. And I cannot tell you to do this enough. Our society is geared to get up out of bed, go, 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 go. You know, don't be, introspective. Don't sleep in. Don't maximize this really precious time. But when I won the lottery, I slept until 2 p.m.
Nice.
In the afternoon. Because what happens is when you go to sleep and you get up, okay, you feel refreshed. But have you ever gone back to sleep and then notice you get really groggy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you're too sleepy? That is the perfect launch. When I get to that state, I focus on my third eye and I go dead. Dead means I don't think of anything. I don't move my body because, again, that's the whole magnetic thing. You try to loosen that magnetic hold. And if you can induce the vibrations and endure the fright of the vibrations, you're almost guaranteed to have an out-of-body experience.
Okay. What would you say about foods that you should or shouldn't eat when attempting to astral project?
Well, you know, there's always, I personally don't eat much meat. I live at PCC. This type of food I eat. I think that helps. But I'm a woman of ferocious will, and if you have that, I don't think it matters as much what you eat or drink. I think it's how much willpower do I have? And when I decided I was going to consciously learn how to do that, I was like a train. You couldn't stop me. And that's what it really takes is are you saturating your subconscious mind? Because do you realize, and you'll notice this, all of you, when you think about something a lot, guess what you're dreaming? That.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can go, oh, my God, I'm actually dreaming this, and then say something like, you know, William Bullman said this, say, clarity now, and you become conscious in that moment, and then you can turn that into a really controlled experience. But more than anything, it goes back to the willpower. Where there's a will, there's a way, and you will succeed.
Okay, and I think that's wonderful advice. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners, Anne?
Well, I would say that one thing that stunts all human growth, astral projection aside, is fear. So many people write me, how can I get rid of this fear? Because it is really frightening. When you go into the etheric, and I don't want to scare people, but you can hear etheric anomalies. You can hear screams. You can hear little critters that you don't recognize. The vibrations are horrific. People are going to have to face their fear in all areas of life. But once you get through the fear, it is so rewarding. And I think if you've heard anything I've said, you're going to say, well, this sounds pretty darn incredible. But we are ignorant as a society, and we're going to have to kind of almost go through the pain of, you know, getting these atrophied muscles back in shape. So confront your fear, and it will be probably the number one obstacle, but it's worth it.
Okay, very good. And where can our listeners learn more about you?
Astralvoyage.com is my webpage, and there's other links to my other websites. I don't have my email up currently, but if they go to the Psychic Experiences, I'm the editor there, and I do take all emails there. They can also just contact my web developer, so I am available for questions and help.
Okay, so the best place to go would be astralvoyage.com.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Anne Moss, it's been a pleasure listening to you and learning from you and talking with you and getting to know you. You're just a wealth of information, so thank you very much.
Anytime.
All right, and from Anne Moss and Steve G. Jones, we're wishing you outstanding astral journeys.